Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama.
जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपीजन बल्लभ गिरिवरधारी, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन, यमुना तीर वनचारियम, यमुना तीर वनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन, यमुना तीर वनचारी, जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी,
जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस प्रयोजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद अभयचरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद की जय। जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस प्रयोजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवत महापुराण की जय। हिताय गौर प्रभानंदी समवेद भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री गुरु गौरांग की जय। ఓం నమ భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమ భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమ భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్యం నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయే. నష్టప్రాయేషు అభద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా భగవతి ఉత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైశ్చికీ. ఓం అజ్ఞానతి నిరంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకయా చక్షురున్మిలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురువే నమః. నమో విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణపృష్ఠాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామీనితి నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతీదేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేషశూన్యవాదీ పాశ్చాత్యదేశతారిణే శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభునిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త వృంద. హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ. రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం కెంటో 1 చాప్టర్ 8 టెక్స్ట్ నంబర్ 12. తర్హి ఏవార్థ మునిశ్రేష్ఠ పాండవా పంచసాయకాన్ ఆత్మనో అభిముఖాన్ దీప్తాన్ అలక్ష్యాస్త్రాణి ఉపాదదుహు. తర్హి ఏవార్థ మునిశ్రేష్ఠ పాండవా పంచసాయకాన్ ఆత్మనో అభిముఖాన్ దీప్తాన్ అలక్ష్యాస్త్రాణి ఉపాదదు. తర్హి ఏవార్థ మునిశ్రేష్ఠ పాండవా పంచసాయకాన్ ఆత్మనో అభిముఖాన్ దీప్తాన్ అలక్ష్యాస్త్రాణి ఉపాదదు.
సాయ
माताजी तर्हि देन एव ऑल्सो अथ देयरफॉर मुनिश्रेष्ठा ओ चीफ अमंग्स द मुनीस पांडवा ऑल द सन्स ऑफ पांडु पंच फाइव सायकान वेपन्स आत्मनः ओन सेल्स अभिमुखान टुवर्ड्स दीप्तान ग्लेरिंग आलक्ष्य सीइंग इट अस्त्राणि वेपन्स उपाददु टुक अप ट्रांसलेशन एंड प्रपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद ट्रांसलेशन O foremost among the great thinkers, seeing the glaring Brahmastra proceeding towards them, the Pandavas took up their five respective weapons. Purport. The Brahmastras are finer than the nuclear weapons. Ashwatthama discharged the Brahmastra simply to kill the Pandavas, namely the five brothers, headed by Maharaj Yudhishthir and their only grandson who was lying within the womb of Uttara. Therefore, the Brahmastra, more effective and finer than the atomic weapon, was not as blind as atomic bombs. When the atomic bombs are discharged, they do not discriminate between the target and others. Mainly, the atomic bombs do harm to the innocent because there is no control. The Brahmastra is not like that. It marks out the target and proceeds accordingly without harming the innocent. Hare Krishna. So in this 8th chapter of 1st canto, which is known as Prayers by Queen Kunti, is one of the very important chapters. And very soon we are going to start those celebrated prayers sung by Mother Queen Kunti, which are like a very theological and literary masterpiece. And Srila Prabhupada, in 1973, he actually gave series of lectures on this teachings of Queen Kunti or prayers of Queen Kunti in Los Angeles, 1973. Although he had spoken about these verses in Srimad Bhagavatam 8th chapter, the lectures given by His Divine Grace were later on compiled into a book form, and that is known as Teachings of Queen Kunti, which is one of the very famous books. And presently what Shukadev Goswami is doing is preparing the prelude for upcoming prayers of Queen Kunti. So in the last chapter we saw that how Ashwatthama released Brahmastra, the ultimate weapon to face Arjuna's anger, because he had killed the five sons of Draupadi and then he was fleeing from Arjuna's arrows. So in order to counteract Arjuna, so he released this Brahmastra weapon. And of course, later on, by the instructions given by Krishna, he was punished. And yet he did not learn his lesson. And actually, Arjuna satisfied both Bhima and Draupadi by chastising him, by punishing Ashwatthama. And after that, Krishna pacified all the Pandavas, which were aggrieved by the death of their innocent children. And now it is the time to go to Dwaraka. Krishna is heading towards Dwaraka. He is sitting on a chariot actually. And he is just about to depart. So that time we hear that how Uttara came forward. She was running towards Lord Krishna's chariot and she wanted to call Krishna. She actually called out for Krishna's help because she was attacked by another Brahmastra by same Ashwatthama. And in today's verse we see that this dangerous weapon of Brahmastra is heading towards Uttara and she is taking shelter of Lord Krishna. And in Srila Prabhupada actually, in purport actually speaks about the nature of Brahmastra and how it is not a gross atomic bomb which kill even innocent people. So we see that how Ashwatthama, although not qualified, he got this Brahmastra. How did he get it in the first place? Because he got it and so now he is creating disaster every time. Actually, when Dronacharya was teaching the Dhanurvidya to Arjuna, because he was the only qualified person among the five, actually there was a test conducted by Ashwatthama in which only Arjuna passed the test by hitting the eye of the bird. So he was the only person who could actually learn this Brahmastra and utilize it properly. However, the Ashwatthama, the son of Drona, he was also interested to learn. And he would also appear and in front of him, his father, teacher, he wanted to learn. And actually he implored and he begged. So ultimately, Ashwatthama's father, Dronacharya, he agreed to the proposal. Not because he was qualified, but out of, you know, sheer affection or attachment to one's own son. So that is called as favoritism. So this kind of favoritism is not at all recommended. And what happens that we are seeing that it is a recipe for disaster. So this favoritism costed a lot for so many devotees, so many people. So at last he learned it, not even fully. Again, the half knowledge is very dangerous. He couldn't learn it fully. He learned how to release Brahmastra, but he did not know how to retract it back. That is another flaw in the character of Ashwatthama. So in the modern world, nowadays we see this word equality, equality. And that is very much praised and it is considered very noble and very good to have equal opportunities for everybody, for everything. But that is not the Vedic view. Yeah, those who are qualified, they can go to a certain kind of knowledge and learn it and utilize it. Not anybody and everybody can learn it and also utilize it. And when there is a discrimination in this case, so that is considered as very, not a very ideal thing to do. Because equality, equality everywhere, they want to establish equality. But then, initially it may appear okay. Okay, everybody is on equal platform, they are performing all the duties, all the people, all the places. But then later on we see how it can create so many problems, even in the present time. Although it is a fact, but people are not ready to understand and learn it. But here in the case of Ashwatthama, we can understand that Because of favoritism, he was not at all qualified to learn this art of releasing Brahmastra. But by force, by hook and crook, he got it. But later on, it proved to be a disaster. So therefore, Einstein has said it perfectly. He said that everybody is a genius. However, if you judge a fish by its ability to climb the tree, which he cannot, then what will happen? He will always live in his whole life believing that he is a stupid, isn't it? Because a fish cannot climb a tree. He has some other purpose to perform in life, some other things to do. But if everyone is judged on the basis of a particular idea that everybody has to pass the same test and then everybody is considered as great. So that is not the... Even a scientist like Einstein did not accept that fact. So here, again, Ashwatthama is doing the same mistake. He also want to learn. He also want to be a great shooter of Brahmastra, although he was not qualified. So, and that too, he learned it half. He couldn't even learn it properly, although he was not qualified. He learned it half, and then again, it created so many problems later on. And actually, Arjuna had to release his Brahmastra and retract both because he was qualified. So, about this Brahmastra, which Srila Prabhupada is speaking about in his purport, there is a weapon to protect oneself. Generally, he used it for that purpose, not for the benefit of anybody, but he wanted to protect himself because he was feeling unprotected. So, on Sunday, day before, Gauranga Prabhu gave a wonderful Bhagavatam class, and in which he was mentioning four things which are the trend of the modern world nowadays. He said that technology, people think of the modern world, they think that technology can bring us convenience and then money can give us security. And earth has unlimited resources. You can just go on digging the earth and all your desires will be fulfilled. But that is not the fact. And then he said that people of the modern world, they think that weapons can give them security or protection for that matter. So when a country has enough weapons, of course, they had to do it for whatever reason. They think that they are protected. And Srila Prabhupada speaks about these nuclear weapons in his purport that they are indiscriminately, they create havoc in the society and mostly the innocent people will be killed. However, in any case, weapons are used for one's own protection. And what is more powerful than Brahmastra? Prabhupada is speaking about it. It is so sharp and so very sure that no one else is harmed except the target. And without any doubt, absolutely there is no doubt that it will not hit the target. And such a powerful protection Ashwatthama has, he is trying to use it for one's own purpose. But that's not the right thing to do. He did not understand. So, finally he used this Brahmastra again to harm the child in the womb of Uttara. There was another mistake that was committed by him. Previously, he couldn't face the anger of Arjuna. So therefore, he wanted to protect himself. Therefore, he released Brahmastra the first time. Second, although he did such a grievous, sinful activity, but he was pardoned and forgiven. Although Bhima was about to attack him with his mace and kill him on the spot, but it was Draupadi who came forward and actually protected him. She begged, no, he should be given forgiveness. So ultimately he was forgiven and forgotten. And he was, of course, released and he left. But second time he comes and again out of envy, this time he attacks such an innocent child. So Ashwatthama again, he is committing this kind of a sinful activity which is unpardonable. So Ashwatthama, although a son of a Brahmana, neither he acted as a proper Brahmana. Later on he took to the profession of a Kshatriya, nor he actually acted as an ideal Kshatriya. In both the cases he failed. Neither he could become a perfect Brahmana nor a perfect Kshatriya. So such a miserable personality. So in Vedic times we hear that how the subtle energy influences the gross energy, as in this case of Brahmasra. It is the chanting of particular mantras with which one can invoke the presence of Brahmasra and he can actually shoot the Brahmasra. That is the science behind these subtle aspects. And in modern times, these weapons are on gross platform. There is nothing subtlety in this. And because they are gross weapons and they create such havoc in the society. And in Vedic times, weapons were actually obtained by worshipping great demigods like Brahma and Shiva. So, but in modern times, these weapons are built while defying the existence of God and other demigods. That is the difference. And in Vedic times, even during the wars, the perfect etiquette was followed. They are actually fighting for their lives, but still they are very conscious to follow the proper etiquettes, isn't it? So we see, in case of Yudhishthira Maharaj, before the beginning of the battle, actually he comes down and he actually pays obeisances to Bhishma and Drona, his elders. And then actually Bhishma and Drona, they tell him that, had you not come and taken our blessings here, you would have been killed in the battlefield. So now that you have come and asking for blessings and prayers, so therefore he actually gave him the blessings that may you attain victory, Vijayi Bhava. That is a kind of etiquette even in the olden times people followed, even during wartime, what to speak of other times, isn't it? So that is the power of submissive attitude or humility towards one's worshipable personality. So many times submissiveness is seen as a weakness of the heart. One who cannot do it properly, so therefore one can become submissive. That is how people are accusing. But that is not the fact. The fact is the submissiveness or humility is actually a great courage. It's a great power. That means one who has really bold in that sense, only he can become submissive towards his seniors or worshipable personalities. So actually it is a great character. So therefore, we hear that conquering the battles and losing the wars, isn't it? So we may conquer so many battles out of arrogance and this and that, but because there is no proper cultivation of such great qualities, So one may end up losing wars. And that is what happened in case of Kauravas, isn't it? So Kauravas, they are so shrewd and they are so very so-called intelligent. And they went on conquering so many battles in the beginning. But later on, we see how they lost the war of Kurukshetra. Because of their such dubious mentality. And also, we see that how even Jarasandha, he attacked Lord Krishna 17 times. So he won his, you know, battles 17 times, but he lost his war on 18th time. And how, that was also very interesting. Actually, Krishna walked away from the battlefield. And again he was accused, hey, you are fleeing the battlefield, what kind of a kshatriya are you? But Krishna did not care. He just kept on walking. And he was walking and this Jarasandha is, you know, running behind him. If somebody is walking, you need not, you know, run to catch him. But actually Krishna was walking down and Jarasandha was actually running full speed, but he still couldn't catch him. And then still he is accusing Krishna that you are such a cowardly personality, you are running away from the battlefield and all of that. And ultimately Krishna actually, he defeated him, he killed him at the end. So therefore it is said that that is known as strategic loss. Yeah, one may lose, but there is strategy behind it. What is the strategy? So that one can win the war. One may lose battles, but he can have a strategy to win the war. And that is what seen in the personality of Lord Krishna, also the Pandavas. So, therefore, there is no wonder why His Holiness Radhana Swamaraj, you know, time and again keeps repeating this same verse. Trinadapi sunichena trorivasaishnuna. So that is what it is. Okay, there are so many battles in the life, so we may not be able to win all of them. But when we follow this one principle, we will win the war of the life, isn't it? So that is the strategy behind that. So, I read some quote, very interestingly, they have framed it like this. When someone sees something and desires it, that is known as lust or kama. Anything can be seen by anybody and he starts desiring that for one's own possession, that is called as lust or kama. And when he can't get it, whatever he desires, then that results into krodha, anger. Okay, then when he hankers for more and more for what he has already gotten, that is known as greed or lobha. And when he gets what he hankers for, and then he becomes illusioned because I have it, that is known as moha. Because he is now illusioned. He thinks that he has possessed it. And then when he still has it, I mean he has it because nobody else has it. So then one becomes proud because other they don't have it and I have possessed it. So then naturally he becomes proud and that is mada. And then it is said that when one sees that others have it, which he doesn't have sometimes. So then he becomes envious. So in case of Ashwatthama, that means the envy is that one quality which is, you know, leads to such a great hatred in the heart that it is a result of all other five anarthas. When all other five anarthas are combined, then that manifests into envy, and that is shown by Ashwatthama here. And although he was forgiven in the initial case, is it not? For such a grave sin, he was forgiven and he was, you know, released. But he still did not learn his lesson. Still again he committed the same mistake. And so we can kind of try to understand, if Krishna knows everything, if he knew that he is going to come again and again attack Uttara, the child in the mother's, Uttara's womb, then why Krishna left him like that? So in one lecture, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was saying that that is to the extent how Krishna is hopeful on everybody's case. Okay, maybe he will reform himself this time. Maybe he will once again, you know, somehow or other he will improve. So that risk Krishna takes for everyone. I even in case of Ashwatthama, he took that risk. Okay, let him give one chance. So maybe he will be reformed. But he did not learn his lesson. He again attacked. So we see the same thing happening in the case of Indra, King Indra. Isn't it? So he was taught perfect lesson. Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill and he understood that he is not the controller, he is not the enjoyer. And initially it was okay. But later on again the same quality came up. When Lord Krishna wanted to get that Parijata tree, he was not willing to give it. He was vehemently resisting. And he actually fought against the same Lord, which he, you know, just few years before he faced such a humiliation. So that is the we can say the anarthas within the heart. They are so very deep rooted that we understand that, okay, now I have overcome it. So now it's okay, I can deal with it. Once one devotee came to Srila Prabhupada and he said, Srila Prabhupada, I think now I have conquered the lust. Prabhupada said, go and see some doctors. And he said that what he meant was, you may understand that presently you are free from that, but that is not the fact. So anytime these anarthas can come up and create problems in one's life. So Krishna is so hopeful. I mean, he always hope against hope. He gives so many chances to the practitioners, the devotees. But our sensitive devotees will not take these chances given by Krishna for granted. They are given so that we can reform ourselves and so that we can move forward. So therefore we can understand how the Lord is so kind upon his devotees. He keeps on giving so many chances so that we can actually do something good in our spiritual life. Again in third canto, Mother Dehuti, she asked this question. And what kind of devotional service is that which is worth practicing, cultivating, to attain the perfection of the service to the lotus feet? Mother Dehuti asked this question. And in answer to this question, the Lord, in the form of her own son, Kapildev, he answered this question. He said that Yo Yogo Bhagavad Bano Nirvana Atman Tvaya Uditaha Kidrsha Kati Cha Angani Yatas Tattva Avabhodanam. That means he said that this yoga system of devotional service, which this aims at the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and is the only and only means to end the material existence. And Srila Prabhupada actually writes purport to this verse. He says that one word, the Bhagavad Bana, is very, very important in this case. And what is that? Bana is actually arrow, isn't it? And what is that Bana? It is not an ordinary even Brahmastra. It is Bhagavad Bana. Bhagavad means that which aims to the lotus feet of the Lord. Bhagavad Bana. And one who possesses this arrow, which is actually unlimitedly more powerful than the Brahmastra. Because this Brahmastra can only hit the target which is in the material realm. It cannot cross beyond the material realm. However, this arrow, this astra, this weapon is so powerful that it can take one to the spiritual world and he becomes successful in attaining the service to the lotus feet of the Lord. So therefore, devotional service to the Supreme Lord is such a great, wonderful act that it can actually destroy all the anarthas within the heart. The anarthas which are causing so many problems. In this case, it is envy born of such hatred towards the Pandavas that caused such a problem that Ashwatthama is acting so heinously in this regard. So, all these anarthas are so very deadly, so we cannot deal with them individually, isn't it? But by possessing this one astra, this one weapon, which is more powerful than any astra, even Brahmastra, then one can not only end the material existence, then he can actually attain the spiritual world, and which is the goal of life. And thanks to Srila Prabhupada, who has given us these books in which he has given the Sambandha Jnana. We see that so many acharyas have given Sambandha Jnana. That means they have written so many books. All the acharyas, Madhvacharya, Ramanucharya, Nimbarkacharya, and so many other great souls and devotees have written a lot of information about the personality of Godhead and the devotional service and so many other things. So that means there is so much of Sambandha Jnana is available. But it is Srila Prabhupada who has given us Abhideya also. What is Abhideya? Okay, now this knowledge is available. So how to utilize it? Where is the platform for even a common man to actually come forward and engage oneself in one's devotional service? And that is the greatness of Srila Prabhupada, the genius of Srila Prabhupada, that he has created a society like ISKCON where all of us we can come and take shelter of the Abhideya process, that is devotional service. So therefore, not only he has given Sambandha Jnana in the form of these books, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and so many other Vedic literatures, which are gems in themselves, actually speaking. And what to speak of, on top of that, he has given us Abhideya, which is very rare, actually speaking. Very rare. Yeah, only selected few are given a chance to render devotional service, we see in other places. However, anybody and everybody can come and engage in devotional service. Here, actually, this is equality, the true equality. Yeah, one thing everybody can possess, one thing everybody can take part in. And what is that? The only one thing, that is devotional service. Devotional service is such an art or such an activity, such a wonderful process that everybody is welcome. Nobody is barred. However, in some other field of knowledge or activity, not that anybody can come and take part and anybody can learn anything. That is not possible. But this devotional service is so wonderful that it is equal to everyone. No matter where one is coming from what background and what is age, nothing is considered important. What is considered important is that that desire to serve the Lord in devotional service, that itself is a great quality. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada has given us these wonderful books, Srimad Bhagavad Gita and so many other books, wherein he constantly emphasizes of being engaged in devotional service all the time. So when one we take advantage of these Vedic literatures given by acharyas, and not only reading them but trying to actually live them, and when we apply these principles of these Vedic literatures in our lives, that means when we perform devotional service, and then what happens is actually the process begins. Then when there is sambandha, then prayojana, then abhide, then prayojana is guaranteed. What is the prayojana? The pure love of God. So, and out of all these important limbs of devotional service, chanting of the holy name is considered the prime most important. So therefore, Rupa Goswami speaks in Upadeshamrita, Shyat Krishna Nama Charitadi Sitapya Vidya Pitto Pataptara Rasanasa Narochikanu Kintu Adaradanu Dhinad Kalusaiva Jishtad Swadit Kramad Bhavati Tadgada Moolahantri. Isn't it? Such an important verse. That Shyat Krishna Nama Charitadi Sitapi Avidya. So he says that this Krishna Nama, chanting of the holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. It's so very important, so very sweet. Sitapi avidya. It is just like a sugar candy. Who doesn't like sugar candy? But those who are afflicted by anarthas, especially the jaundice, that avidya is considering all these anarthas. And then for them what it happens is it appears like a very bitter, just like a neem. So the but then again he says that kintu adarad anudinad. Adara is with great awe and reverence, and anudina means regularly, every single day. When we chant these holy names regularly, and then what happens? Tadgada moolahantri. That this great disease of the heart, avidya, is vanquished from the root. And that is the greatness of chanting of the holy names. So, again, Srila Prabhupada, who has made it so very prominent in his con, that actually we are known as Hare Krishnas. People, they don't know that ISKCON also there is a name for our movement. They call it Hare Krishna movement. Hare Krishna they have come. So that is how it is synonymous to our, you know, actual process chanting Hare Krishna. So, although Srila Prabhupada, whenever we go out and see that, they call us Hare Krishnas. In actually other institutions, the members of the institutions are actually understood or recognized by the founder of the institution. They are so and so, they are so and so. The founder names comes in the front. Here the founder Acharya of Srila Prabhupada of ISKCON, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, people hardly know about him. Because he made Krishna so very prominent in the lives of devotees, in the life of common man, that he is in the background. And that is a true devotee. True devotee is one who doesn't, you know, pose himself that I am a great devotee, please respect me. And in fact, it so happened that once Srila Prabhupada was in Kumbh Mela. We have heard this story that devotees, they were observing how other all great acharyas and mahans, pandits, they were having procession of their acharyas and their gurus making them sit on a big, big elephants, and they were actually in Kumbh Mela, they were doing all of that processions. And devotees suggest, Prabhupada, we should also have procession. And yes, we should have procession, but I will not sit on the elephant. We'll put Radha and Krishna on the procession, I mean the elephant, and then we'll have procession. I'll just walk down. That is the humility of Srila Prabhupada. That he, although such a prominent acharya, nobody has done recently, I mean, the whatever he has achieved in the service of Lord Krishna, we don't see that others have achieved it. Although such a very great personality who has managed to establish the society, international society, at the age of 70, and given us so many Vedic literatures and created a platform for anybody and everybody to come forward and take devotional service in one's life. Such a great accomplishments Srila Prabhupada has actually accomplished. But yet, he is so very humble and sincere that he always gave credits to his followers, his disciples. And he would say that, oh, you are all my representative of my spiritual masters. He gave credits to his own disciples. So that is the greatness of Srila Prabhupada, that who has given us this platform so that we all can come forward and actually practice devotional service. And when we practice sincerely and seriously, so then there is a surety that we'll get the ultimate goal of life. So, in the introduction to Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada has written one very important statement. He says that in the course of our life, we face so many difficulties, so many upheavals, so many tragedies. And if we are not taking actually complete shelter of the devotional service during our lifetime, whenever we face so many difficulties, it will be impossible to actually remember the Lord at the time of death. It is impossible. Prabhupada has written it. So we always say that Ante Narayana Smriti. We should remember Narayana at the time of death. Yes, that is possible, provided when we actually see every small and big and whatever kind of impediments comes in our life. Actually, Gaurangpur was mentioning that also on Sunday. He said that all these, you know, impediments and difficulties and trials and tribulations which come in devotees' lives, we should know that Lord is trying to prepare us for the final. Because at the time of death, it is going to be a tremendous pain. As Garuda Purana explains that it is equal to 40,000 scorpions biting simultaneously. I mean, it's a very horrifying experience. You can just imagine it. But the fact is, that is how it is. So, I mean, especially it is said that the biting of scorpion is like hellish. One scorpion bite could be so very treacherously painful, but what to speak of 40,000 simultaneously biting. So that is the amount of pain one has to undergo at the time of death. So then how one will be able to remember the Lord at the time of death? It is ever possible. We can easily say that, looking at our own present condition, it is impossible. Okay, then Krishna wants it to happen. Krishna wants us to remember at the time of death. How is it possible? Then Prabhuji was mentioning that whenever we face our difficulties in our life, they are actually preparing for the final examination. So at least we can, you know, even however painful or however difficult we may be, difficulties we may be facing in present time, still we can, you know, think of Krishna. And that's what we should practice actually. Here actually Ashwatthama, he is seeing Krishna, but he couldn't do that. He couldn't take shelter of, he took shelter of Brahmastra. But look at the Pandavas. They are actually, look at Uttara, they are actually taking shelter of Krishna. Because they are on the verge of death now. They know that the death is already has come. So now look at their personalities. Look at their character. They are actually teaching us how to, even at the face of death, to take shelter of the Lord. And they are the best examples for us. We may not be on their platform, but we can try to remember the Lord in our difficulties, in our trials and tribulations. So that is actually practice. When we do that, then and when the final moment comes, then actually we can make it, actually we can remember Krishna. Of course, that is not in our hands, it is in Lord's hands. But if we have practiced it all throughout our lives, then Krishna gives us that grace, grace marks. And with that grace, we can actually and remember the Lord at the time of the last moments. And when we can do that, that could be our best achievement in one's life. So let us pray and hope that maybe remember Krishna, His holy names at the time of leaving our body. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jāya, Granthara Śrīmad Bhāgavata Mahāpurāṇa ki jāya, Nitāya Gaura Premanande, Hare Krishna.
Hare Ram, 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 Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram.